सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
John chapter 9 verses 29 to 34.
Samoham sarva bhuteshu, samoham sarva bhuteshu, name dveshyosi na priyaha, name dveshyosi na priyaha, eva janti tu mam bhaktyaha, eva janti tu mam bhaktyaha, mayite teshu chapyaham, mayite teshu chapyaham, samoham sarva bhuteshu, name dveshyosi na priyaha, eva janti भजते मामनन्यभा साधुरेव समन्तव्यः साधुरेव समन्तव्यः सम्यग्व्यवसितो हि सः सम्यग्व्यवसितो हि सः अपि चेतु दुराचारः भजते मामनन्यभा साधुरेव समन्तव्यः सम्यग्व्यवसितो हि सः क्षिप्रं भवति धर्मात्मा क्षिप्रं भवति धर्मात्मा शश्वच्चान्तिं निगच्छति शश्वच्चान्तिं निगच्छति कौन्तेय प्रतिजानीहि कौन्तेय प्रतिजानीहि न मे भक्तः प्रणश्यति न मे भक्तः प्रणश्यति क्षिप्रं भवति धर्मात्मा शश्वच्चान्तिं निगच्छति कौन्तेय प्रतिजानीहि न मे भक्तः प्रणश्यति मां हि पार्थव्यपाश्रित्य मां हि पार्थव्यपाश्रित्य ये पिस्युपापयोनयः ये पिस्युपापयोनयः स्त्रियो वैश्यास्तथा शूद्राः स्त्रियो वैश्यास्तथा शूद्राः ते पियान्ति परां गतिं ते पियान्ति परां गतिं मां हि पार्थव्यपाश्रित्य ये पिस्युपापयोनयः स्त्रियो वैश्यास्तथा शूद्राः ते पियान्ति परां गतिं किं पुनर्भ्रामणा पुण्याः किं पुनर्भ्रामणा पुण्याः वक्ता राजर्षयस्तथा वक्ता राजर्षयस्तथा अनित्यमसुखं लोकम् अनित्यमसुखं लोकम् इमं प्राप्य भजस्व माम् इमं प्राप्य भजस्व माम् किं पुनर्भ्रामणा पुण्याः वक्ता राजर्षयस्तथा अनित्यमसुखं लोकम् इमं प्राप्य भजस्व माम् मन्मना भव मद्भक्ताः मन्मना भव मद्भक्ताः मद्याजी मां नमस्कुरु मद्याजी मां नमस्कुरु मामे वैश्यसि युक्त्वैवं मामे वैश्यसि युक्त्वैवं आत्मानं मत्परायणः आत्मानं मत्परायणः मन्मना भव मद्भक्तः मद्याजी मां नमस्कुरु मामे वैश्यसि युक्त्वैवं आत्मानं मत्परायणः Shri Krishna here talking as Ishvara declares that I am the same in all beings. Self is neutral in all beings, in the virtuous as well as in the vicious. That is when I quoted that Dere Dhammanam Napanam Avatamye Atmaiva Atmano Vardhuku Atmaiva Rupyatmanaha. The self being the same, you can use it or you can abuse it. The inner potential being infinite, one could use it to evolve or abuse it to devolve. It is the same I am I in all beings. There is none hateful or dear to me. Self is a witness. If you want to use it positively, suppose. If you want to use it negatively, go down the lane, destroy yourself, till it continues its sentiency, supporting your actions. But those who worship me with devotion, with surrender, those who identify with the Atma and function, they are in me and I am also in them. In the fourth verse of this chapter, he said, they are in me, I am not in them. When he talked about the world. There we said, their mind is somewhere else. Therefore, even though self is equal in everything, they are not in me. Therefore, I am not in them. In them, the mind is somewhere else. Then we talked about a big circle, small circle, etc. Now, he is saying, they are in me, I am also in them. He is talking about those who have not got the desires for the world, those who have got the desires for the Atma. In the sense, not only the self is available to them, present in them, they are also turning towards the self. They are also introverted. Therefore, I am more present in them, more visible in them, more seen in them, more expressed through them. Therefore, he says, I am also in them. Since we are not sure whether we did 30, we will chant 30 and then repeat it again. Api chet sudurachara, api chet sudurachara, bhajate mamananya bhak, bhajate mamananya bhak, sadureva samantavya, sadureva samantavya, samyagvyavasitohisah, api chet sudurachara, bhajate mamananya bhak, sadureva samantavya, samyagvyavasitohisah. Even if a wicked person worships me, I think we did this verse.
Yeah, we did.
He quoted Ratnakar and everybody, right?
We did.
Ratnakar who converted himself to Valmiki. So it doesn't matter, your path doesn't matter. What matters is what direction do you take. So even if you are a wicked person, but if you have turned in this direction, worshipping me means accepting there is something beyond. I'm accepting my helpless situation. In fact, I was told by somebody who works for Alcoholics Anonymous. She told me one of the things they do there is make them first accept that they are helpless victim of that habit. Yeah. Once that acceptance happens, then they give them serenity prayer. Oh God, give me the clarity to see what I can change and the willpower to change it. What I cannot change, to accept and endure it. And the wisdom to see the difference between these two. So, first, when a person turns upward, meaning he understands that he is limited and helpless. Helpless victim of his wickedness. See, please understand, every habit, how does the habit start? Habit is nothing but a indiscriminate, unconscious, repeated action. Everything starts off with it, then it becomes bit, then it becomes a bit, then it becomes habit. So what happens is, from it to habit, slowly it is gathering momentum. You know what I mean? And habit, when it has become habit, it's a huge momentum. Now even if I want to turn this side, my habit overtakes me. But it's a question of time. The fact that I turn this side, Sri Krishna says, it's a question of time. So he says, even if a very wicked person worships me with unswerving
devotion.
That's the condition. Unswerving devotion in the sense, single-pointed devotion to the self-willed. He too shall be regarded as righteous. Why? Because he is turned in this direction. He is wanting to rise above the habit. He is not saying, I want to stay there. He wants to rise above.
So in this context, I even give the example of thieves in India going to steal after prayer. The fact, see, not that you do prayer to say that, okay, today I will get quite a lot of collection. Not like that. They pray because they know that they have got this wrong habit. They need to rise above it. But now they are a victim. So they continue doing that, but slowly they want to rise above. But the prayerfulness slowly brings them out of their habit. See, when you are trying to rise above any habit, first don't try this. First through knowledge, through detachment and all that we have said that before. Little bit you try to withdraw. But supplement that withdrawal with knowledge, otherwise the withdrawal will frustrate you. Withdraw according to your capacity. Right? I mentioned this to you once long time ago, I don't know if you remember that formula. Withdrawal plus knowledge of the higher, underlined by capacity, circled by consistency. Long ago, maybe in previous Janma we had a conversation. Actually, that is long time ago. Why are you asking us to remember that? Probably in previous Janma. I think we did this when we read the third chapter. W withdrawal plus KN or K knowledge of the higher underlined by C capacity means your capacity, according to your capacity. So withdrawal has to be according to your capacity. See, any field is like that, especially in spiritual field, even in yoga. Don't do anything just because other fellows do. Other fellows probably do yoga for so many years. If you forcefully do that, you may harm yourself permanently. So therefore, you cannot afford to, you know, like compare yourself with somebody else and then destroy yourself. All the more in spiritual field. So according to your capacity, you withdraw. According to your capacity, you take in knowledge. But the maximum capacity for any person at any given point in time to take in knowledge at a stretch is 1.5 hours. Please understand this. Not more than that. When you are studying, not more than 1.5 hours. You can stretch yourselves. But give a break and then maybe again start. Right? So, W plus intake of knowledge. Knowledge when we say Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. All. It's not just listening, followed by reflection or contemplation, followed by experimentation. And this has to be done according to your capacity and you have to be consistent about it. Then slowly over a period of time, you will probably overcome habit. But if something is not going after all this struggle, then usually with the help of a guru, after consulting the guru, you take a call and the guru helps you, then he may suggest you for experimentation, but conscious experimentation. Like what we are discussing. Prayerfully, with awareness, you contact the object, experiment. Slowly it will leave. So the fact that you have turned in this direction, your wickedness will, it cannot continue. Impossible. Next verse. Shipram bhavati dharmatma, shipram bhavati dharmatma, shashvachantim nigacchati, shashvachantim nigacchati, kauteya pratijanihi, kauteya pratijanihi, name bhakta pranashyati, name bhakta pranashyati, shipram bhavati dharmatma, shashvachantim nigacchati, kauteya pratijanihi, name bhakta pranashyati. Shipram, soon he becomes righteous and attains eternal peace.
Soon means what? The fact that he's turned in that direction is a question of time. A lot of times what happens is, in some cases you see it in time, slowly changing. In some people you see that happening suddenly. Now for example, in Valmiki's story, as if he overnight became a saint. Does anyone become overnight a saint?
No.
Why are you saying it half-heartedly?
No.
No. So when you see somebody changing to a saint overnight, how do you look at, how do you understand?
Usually as efficient.
Suspicious. No, genuinely supposing a fellow has changed.
Right.
If you decide, then you drop that habit or you drop that thing, right? It's not impossible. Right?
See, what change was happening at the subconscious level you were not seeing. It was not available to your conscious equipment. In science, when you grew up studying in school, you were done this experimentation. It used to be called as volumetric analysis. In a beaker, they used to have a colorless liquid, or a red litmus. And the burette will have colorless liquid. And you open the knob of the burette, keeping the beaker under the burette. Drop by drop, the colorless liquid is added to the, colorless liquid from the burette is added to the red litmus in the, what do you call it? A container, right? Beaker. Slowly, one drop by drop, it's added. Then what happens? Suddenly a particular drop, the red litmus has turned into blue. Then we close the mouth and don't allow any more drop. Then the concentration will become thicker. And then we do the calculation. I actually forgot how to do the calculation. But we do the calculation, right? Then we say red litmus turned into blue. And when you do the experimentation, they give different concentration to different students in the lab. Some people within half an hour it is turned. And for some, the exam is usually for 3 hours. They give you a concentration in such a way that your red litmus turns into blue almost at 2 hours 40 minutes. You have exactly 20 minutes to do the calculation. And such people have it. Right? So it's been very frustrating. But you have to be very carefully watching. Because one more drop if you add katam, the whole thing will go very well. That particular drop is turning the red litmus to blue. Or each and every drop has been turning it to blue.
Each and every drop,
but the particular drop made the change visible. Is that clear? The particular drop made the change visible. But each and every drop has been bringing about the change. But the change was not visible. So please understand, nothing happens overnight. Slowly, slowly, slowly it happens. That is why we say, you forget about the result. It is definitely happening. It's not come to the visibility. So what do you have to do? Continue putting in your effort. What is the verse suggesting that? Karmani eva adhikaraha ma paleshu kadacha. Some of the cricketers come to Swamiji. Any one of us, this is our place, we say, forget about the result, just go and play. Ajinkya Rahane was playing for Indian team now. Because the fellow is in Mumbai, he went to Praveen Amle. And Praveen Amle comes to Swamiji's advice. Swamiji also plays cricket. One of the main thing is this. These guys are all highly talented. Nothing needs to be told them as a cricket game is concerned. But in the mind, you understand, they have to perform. They have to get this, they have to get this, this, that. They get attached. And today, in one of the newspapers, Ajinkya Rahane has given an interview. One of the main things that I was told by Swamiji stuck to me, just don't worry about the result. whatever it is. If you understand this, you will actually not obey. Because every action of yours is actually bringing about a change. Is you are getting closer and closer to the result. But it's just that one more or few more effort is needed for it to become visible. That's about it. If you really understand the science, then you will be able to drop this. So it is Shripram, soon. Soon means how soon? That we cannot say. That's why intelligently says Kshipram. Soon. That depends on so many factors. Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Soon he becomes Dharmatma. He becomes righteous. See, when you go closer to the fire and stand by the fire for a while, what happens? Slowly your body gets warmed up. Isn't it? So the fact that you turn towards righteousness, slowly, slowly, the righteousness will consume you. Because that's your original nature. You have been long keeping yourself away from your original self. The moment you turn towards the original self, it sucks you as it is. It's very difficult. Once the person has turned towards the self, truth, having tasted the truth, to get back, it's not easy to stay there permanently. So he says, soon he becomes righteous. That's why when you go to a Mahatma, you do something wrong to him, but he forgives you. And this fellow never expected that. He comes back, and over a period of time, he has a change. He changes to righteousness. He becomes the follower of the Mahatma. What happened is, he went closer to the forgiveness which is the truth. Are you with me? The fact that he went that close, he comes back and is not able to thereafter continue. That is why in the poem Village Preacher, Oliver Goldsmith is painting a perfect human being in the poetry. He calls him a village preacher. He's preaching there in the village. And while he's preaching in the church, some people go to scoff at him. Go to the church just to scoff. Like this happens, you know. Some people come to the church just to show how much they know. Or they come and compare. Verse number 30, how did Lakshmi Narayan interpret? And let me see how he is interpreting. And then compare. Then they be, you know, like this. So there are different varieties. So these people go for scoffing. So he says, they who came to scoff remain to pray. That was his goodness. Village preacher. He continued preaching, but these people were scoffing at him. He did not take any punitive actions against them. Just continued preaching with forgiveness. Slowly these people were converted. Remained to pray. Those who went to scoff at him remained to pray. Because they're getting closer to righteousness. The most powerful thing is truth. Anybody coming closer to truth will convert themselves to truth. They have to become truthful. It's a fact of life. They cannot do it. Because once from within, the conscience is pricking, they cannot do it. You remember that story of what is that Mahatma's name?
Whose name?
We used to talk about Mahatma. Swami. Name I forgot. He used to be lecturing in the kingdom and the queen used to go to his classes. And then one day she invited him for lunch in the palace. He went. He was a sannyasi. He just had a begging bowl. Nagarjuna, Saint Nagarjuna. He just had a begging bowl, nothing else. She invited him for the lunch, so he went for diksha. After the lunch in the palace, she said, I want your begging bowl as my Guru Prasad. And she gave him a diamond studded begging bowl. You remember that story?
Yes.
And the thief was following, finally, he asked for advice from him. And all he said was, continue stealing. stealing. He is asking advice how to get over that stealing habit. He said, continue stealing. I am asking you how to get over, you are saying continue stealing. He said, continue stealing, go and steal minimum 10 times next. But only difference is you have to do it consciously. First time he went, he could not steal. Third time only he came running, he said, you have done some jadu. Because all this while everybody said, don't steal, don't do this, don't do that. Hey, but please ask for forgiveness, it's a bad thing that you are doing, you know. He already knows it's a bad thing. That somebody is changed. I know an oncologist in US. He's an oncologist. How many cancerous lungs he must have seen? Cancerous throat, cancerous lungs, cancerous mouth he must have seen. You understand? He's almost my age, same age as mine. The guy is a chain smoker. Now are you going to tell him cigarette is going to cause you cancer? Doesn't he know? So if somebody is drinking, smoking, don't smoke, don't drink, go on till then, he gets more agitated. It takes two more things and forgets about it, you know. So ideally what you are supposed to do is not go on irritating the person like this. What can convert a person is love. Non-judgmental attitude. And make the person become little aware. And once the person's inner awareness awakens, he is slowly turning towards goodness. Thereafter he cannot do it, impossible. So he says, soon he becomes righteous and attains eternal peace. Meaning the self within. O Kauteya, O Kunti Putra, know for certain that my devotee never perishes. My devotee never perishes. What does it mean? Those who have turned towards the self. My devotee does not mean Krishna's devotee. Therefore you must only worship Krishna. Don't take Rama's side. You will be in trouble. Anumanji, you have to be very careful. Only Krishna. Supposing you talk like this, that means you have not understood this verse. He is saying, my devotee means devotees of the self, the truth. Those who identify with them, those who are introverts, those who have turned within. Such people, they never perish. What is perishing means? Get lost. Meaning what? Get lost in the quagmire of desire. They never get lost in the quagmire of desire. We are all, see, the moment you leave the self, you turn to the desire side, you're lost. Before you realize so many desires, you destroy yourself. But then all those destructive methods look very attractive. So you think, oh, you're going to do something, something, achieving something, achieving something, and slowly it destroys you. Anger. When a person is angry, he is enjoying it. He says, give nicely. Right? I put her into a place. You get a kick out. What you don't understand is finally it kicks you. Suddenly, blood pressure. Then you realize, actually anger kicked me, not really kicked the other person. Jealousy finished me, not the other person. Since we are talking about jealousy in Uttar, he says, beware of the green-eyed monster. It mocks the meat it feeds on. Meat it feeds on. Like a cat, the green-eyed monster, plays with the rat. And the rat is thinking it's my baby. Suddenly, it kills as it's playing. So you are playing, you don't understand, when you have turned towards the self, you are playing with your desire, which is a path to perishing. You know that poem? Which poem? Pond. Pond. I mean, we also, but more than that, pond. a small chick was friendly with ducklings. The ducklings were all swimming in the pond, coming out and playing. The mother bird had cautioned the small chick to play around, play with them around the pond, but don't enter the pond. But saw that ducklings going in and out, developed the desire. Then started thinking. Who is thinking? Chicken. Means chicken intellect. Means no intellect. That chicken brain. Thinking. Sitting and thinking. What is saying? First thing it sees is my feet. Actually that's the reason. Because chick doesn't have a feet. Ducklings have a feet. It sees that yet it doesn't. That's the problem. That is the problem. Actually, if you understand this, you will never judge anybody. You're so cruel, sir. You don't understand. How can we be forgiving? Now, what am I supposed to tell everyone? Because, actually, if you understand this, see, the chick is seeing the feet, yet the seeing is colored, blurred by the desire. This is exactly the situation. This is exactly the situation, but you don't understand. So who is at fault? The fellow is so blurred. He's seeing it, yet he's not seeing it. Same thing that he is behaving so cruelly. See, in I don't know which state, Philadelphia or somewhere.
So who is behaving cruel? The chick who is going into the water? No, I'm not talking
about that. The whole thing is desire.
Desire.
Somebody. When you look at it from Vedantic angle, you understand, poor fellow is caught in desire. So you will automatically become forgiving. Now when I say this, I want to explain to you this with an example. Otherwise you will be sad. I don't know which state, Philadelphia I think, in US, one fellow suddenly, when he woke up in the morning, he saw a lot of blood stains and all that on the bed sheet. I talked about it earlier. He didn't understand, and there was a knife with a lot of blood in his, on his bed next to his hand. So he immediately called up the police. He has this weakness of sleepwalking. So he thought sleepwalking has done something wrong. He called the police. Police came and the dog traced the blood mark, and within few meters, a kilo, I mean 100 meters or 200 meters, his father-in-law's house was there. The blood mark was traced to his father-in-law's house. When they entered the house, they saw the father-in-law lying on the bed, murdered in a pool of blood. They arrested him. The court acquitted him. Why? Because he lived in a state of non-awareness, in sleepwalking. Even though the court acquitted him, court did something else. What is it? They sent him to therapy. Till he has become cured, he cannot come out. That is important. So when you deal with such people, you got to understand. Of course, forgiveness is there. But you got to understand this part of it. Whether you say, how can I forgive? How can you behave like that? You're misunderstanding. You're hating the sinner, not the sin. There is nobody sinner. So that's what he's saying here. Kauntaya, know for certain that my devotee never perishes. Once the awareness starts getting kindled in the person, he moves in the right direction and stops destroying himself.
But that happens when he's truthful, right? When he's honest.
Obviously, even supposing he didn't call, if the court it was established, that he did the murder in the sleepwalking condition, he would still be acquitted, whether he called or not. So all we need to understand in that example is, but of course the court has to be established that he did that in the sleepwalking condition. Supposing somebody else calls the police and tells and pretends that he did it in sleepwalking condition, he's not going to be pardoned. Next verse is the most difficult verse, especially in a class which is full of babies. Mamhi partha vyapashitya
Epishyupapayonayaha Striyo vaishyastata shudraha Te piyanti parangatim Mamhi partha vyapashitya Epishyupapayonayaha Striyo vaishyastata shudraha Tepiyanti parangatim.
These are verses which have been heavily criticized by some people who do not really understand these verses correctly. For those who take refuge in me, in the Supreme, the Self, the Partha, though of sinful birth, even though of sinful birth, meaning Vasana, sin means Vasana. In fact, technically, if you go, as long as you have any vasana, even good vasana, because it keeps you away from Atma. Sinful birth means, see, it's how you interpret it. Sinful birth, what kind of sinful birth? Woman, Vaishyas, Asudra. That's not what Krishna is actually saying. Sinful birth, Kama, woman, Kama, like that. It's not, all these are sinful birth. Should not be understood that way. Only man is not sinful. Woman is sinful. That's not what he is saying. But it's taken that way. But when he says woman, he wants to purposely say that. I told you already once, many times I said, Purusha resides in the Puri. The Puri differs. The Purusha is saying, man's body is separate from the female body. So there are advantages and disadvantages in each and every city. Okay? So when he is saying this, somebody who is sinful but lot of desires, full of desires, then woman, when he says woman, what he is trying to say here is the feminine nature, jealousy, greed, these come under the feminine quality, which man also has, right? But man has more of masculine quality generally. Female has more of feminine quality generally. So when he says woman here, he is actually talking about that feminine quality. If supposing such feminine qualities are more, then it's like riding a motorboat against the tide. Not that they cannot achieve, but it's against the tide. That's all. Then he talks about Vaishya and Shudra. Who is the Vaishya and Shudra? Who has more sattva or more rajas? Or more tamas? More rajas and tamas, no?
Yeah.
Is it possible when a person is more tamas to reach the self? He is saying, yes, it is possible. But thoda mushkil hai, bas itna hai. That's all he's saying here. In other words, even if the odds are against you, in fact, you remind yourself of the tortoise and hare race in the contest. Odds were against who?
Tortoise.
But who won the race?
Tortoise.
So, it's not like women cannot reach there. Also, in some spiritual practices, the woman's body, for certain spiritual practices, is not that conducive because of the obvious reasons. You understand? But that doesn't mean they cannot reach. They can reach, but little more difficulty. That's about it. So, the verse is misunderstood from, when you look at it from a different angle. As for Krishna is calling these as sinful, what he means is, it's a little difficult. In fact, there are people in man's body more greedy. There are people in woman's body more selfless. For them, then what happens is the feminine quality is more in them. So when he says woman, he is meaning that tree. He is talking about that particular puri, that particular nature. He is not talking about a particular species. Similarly, when he says Vaishya, Vaishya, see, even if, you know, when a Vaishya, the fact that Vaishya fellow went to Himalaya, he saw what he was seeing. Place where Ramtita was moving around. In our classes we keep on quoting Ramtita. The place exactly around that area where Swami Ramtita was moving around. Vaishya fellow went, what did he see there? Beautiful spot to start Ananda Swami. Isn't it? See, a Vaishya's mind works that way. It's very interesting. Oh, this is a very good place. Where do we start? So many foreigners are coming. See, that's it's not, we are not looking at it negatively or positively. That's why he's a businessman. That fellow looks like, he sees that. His brain works like that. His nature is such that. So many people go. They didn't think we should start on spa here. The business. So the odds are like that. But even if you are like that, you could, if you still want to rise to this level, it is possible. So he is only saying it really doesn't matter whether you are at the level of tortoise or the race. You could still win the race as long as you decided to move upwards and be consistent at it. That's all he's saying. That's the most important thing that he needs to know. They are full of desire, sinful. Can you turn or not? Only one desire. Is it a guarantee that you will turn? Can you not get involved in one desire? Can you not free yourself from all the desires? An extremely extroverted person, suddenly something happens, some event happens. See, there is this beautiful four lines from the poem. It says, laugh, the world will laugh at you. Weep, you weep alone. In case, God forbid, there is an income tax raid in your house, you know who is your friend. Who is not your friend? Previous night you would have had a gala party, so many people would have come. But that moment you get into trouble. Nobody will answer your phone call? Nothing. Supposing you are such a person. You had some bad experience like that. That triggers your thinking. What do you do? Suddenly you can change. Little bit of deep thinking at that moment. Say, then what is all this? It's all very shallow. There's nothing so deep about this. So is this the life that I've been pursuing? Is this the kind of people with whom I've been moving around? So much of importance I gave for such people. Immediately you can change, isn't it? So it's not how extroverted you were, but how deep was your discrimination. In other case, it could be just one desire to realize itself, but you could be involved in the desire and go through many generations. So really speaking, it does not matter where you are. What matters is what direction you take. That's what we need to understand. So certain yoga practices and all that, the woman's body is not the centers. That's about for certain mantra to chant, certain vibrations to create for which the woman's body is not conditioned during a certain time. Therefore, little disadvantage. That's all. It's not as if they cannot get there. So from all angles when you look at it, he's not condemning and saying they are sinful. He's saying something else. It's not to be understood that way. Next verse. So if you see the commentary, he quotes many women who realize themselves, Yajnavalkya's wife, etc., etc. Now he is going to say, then imagine what about Brahman? If a person in Tamas, Rajas, itself can reach, how much more easy it will be for a sattvic embodiment. Isn't it? That's all he's saying. Kim punar brahmana punyaha, kim punar brahmana punyaha, bhakta rajasya yastata, anityamasukam lokam, prapya, imam prapya bhajasvama, kim punar brahmana punyaha, bhakta rajasya yastata, anityamasukam lokam, imam prapya bhajasvama. How much more than holy Brahmins and devout royal sages? Holy Brahmins and devout royal sages. Royal sages means what?
Kings
but saintly. See, what is the difference between Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra? That's the chapter that's going to come now. Purandari is lecturing chapter 14 called Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga from 13 to 16. There he will talk about the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. And the permutation combination of sattva, rajas, tamas brings about this variety of castes. The sattva predominating so much, then little bit of rajas and very little traces of tamas, pure brahma. Then rajas predominating but high amount of sattva and little tamas. Who are you? Kshatriya. Vaishya, rajas predominating and a high amount of tamas and little bit of sattva. Vaishya. Tamas predominating, little bit of rajas and very little sattva. Shudra.
According to
the nature, the profession is more suitable to them. That's all. Actually, the whole thing has been changed by the selfish people and those who do not understand these things. It's not that you have brought to a Brahma, you immediately become a Brahma. The possibility is high. Assuming that both the parents were Brahmanas and hence they were vibrating in that frequency, the possibility is high. But also remember, Ravana was born to a Brahma. Radha was born to a Kshatriya. Sorry, Sutra. Pralam. Rakshasa. So what you need to understand is, the permutation combination of these gunas bring about the caste system. According to the gunas, you should take up your profession. In this, there is none superior, none inferior. It is all kept on a plate, not in steps. But people who were selfish and who misunderstood, they kept it in steps. That's when the problem came. As though Brahmana is higher, Shudra is lower, thing like that. Huh? Each and every aspect is important. All sorts of things must be taken in together to make up an ear and a spear. Say the squirrel in the poem Mountain of the Squirrel. A beautiful poetry by Emerson. Even small little thing matters. The tadpoles, the frogs laying eggs, when the rainwater pours down, and then the tadpoles eat up, the frogs eat up all the eggs laid by the mosquitoes in the water. You didn't know what is called as dengue. Then we destroyed frogs and so many other reasons. Then what happens? Now it's a big thing. Newspapers we open, and whole full pages about dengue. How we are struggling to get rid of dengue. How many people died of dengue? Chikungunya. Now you tell me, frog has a role to play. Do we really understand that? So that's what he's saying here. Nobody superior, nobody inferior. So he says, how much more than holy Brahmins and devout royal sages. Even though they were Kshatriyas, they were also trained in the Vedas. They also have high amount of sattva. Like King Janaka, for example. King Janaka, he was a king, yet the realized soul. Why was that far? Rama and Krishna, they themselves were not Brahmana, they were Kshatriya. But they are royal sages. They were royal, but they were sages. Which means what? Completely detached and objective. Such people, having reached this transient joyless world, you worship me. Having reached this transient joyless world, meaning what? A Vaishya, a Shudra, a woman, or anybody else who is highly sinful, full of desires, little bit reflection if they do, and come to this understanding. This is transient joyless. See, why do we run after something? Because of delusion. As if it is bringing you joy. And the joy it brings is permanent. This is how you are getting trapped. This also you discussed before. When you see the light coming from the moon, you are getting deceived as if it's coming from the moon. You call it the moonlight. Isn't it? All the Buddhist songs we talk about chant and all the time. Right? But is there really light in the moon? You know this, that there's no light in the moon. It's a borrowed light. Similarly, when you run after any object, obviously you're running after it for pleasure, joy, and you are also getting joy. But you are not using your discrimination there. So what are you thinking? You are actually thinking the joy is coming from the object. But is it coming from the object, or where is it coming from? Where is it coming from?
Your desire.
Explain.
Because you wanted it from desire, for you get that object. You feel some sort of fulfillment once you possess.
When you have desired, you contacted, you got it, you felt the joy.
For some time. Then you move to the next.
Second, again you have another desire for the same object. Mango season.
Same
mango season.
Mango.
You eat mango, you get pleasure.
Yes.
Huh. Again you have desire for mango. But second mango is little less taste. So if joy was coming from because of desire, why second mango is less taste? Because is it less desire?
Mango is desire.
Think about it. I gave you this example before. Vedanta gives this example saying, a dog bites a dry bone. Inside the bone there is no marrow, but it's biting it. As it bites, the bone gets stuck to the upper jaw of the dog. and the dog is bleeding. And the dog is tasting its own blood, and it is imagining that the blood is coming from the bone. Hence it's tightening, hence it's biting it even more. This is what you are doing, says Vedanta. What is Vedanta saying is, you are contacting the object. The object is giving the joy of the self reflected through it. But you are imagining that it is coming from the object. Actually it is the joy of Atma.
So then the same thing for the second one?
Same thing, reflection. I am explaining to you what is happening. I have given this example also before. You are sitting in a, what do you call it? Classic pool of water. Jacuzzi. Not switched on. Suddenly you switch on. What happens? Ripples. Similarly, the placid pool of mind, desire pops up. Mango. 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 Mango, 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 mango. It goes on like that. Right? So much of ripples. Give mango. The ripple subsides. Did the object bring the joy? The desire for the object actually created agitation. Desire for the object actually created agitation. And the contact with the object, what did it do? Remove the desire for the object. Then you come in contact with the joy of the placid pool. You understand? Calm mind, which is Atma. But the problem is quickly another desire for mango. So desire is nothing but potential agitation. When you fulfill the desire,
the satisfaction you get from it or the calm you get from it is what you actually desire.
The calm you get is subsided. When your desire gets subsided, actual joy comes from Atma. But the problem is the desire doesn't stay without coming. It keeps coming quickly, quickly. So your temporary, your satisfaction lasts for a short duration.
Joy comes from the calming of the agitation.
Repeat this. The very desire for the object brought about the agitation. So contact with the object removed the
agitation.
Did not bring joy. It removed the agitation. You again come in contact with the already existing joy. Okay. But the problem is, before you could experience it fully, another desire comes for the same object or some other object. As a result of which, the joy you don't experience for longer duration. So when you go on reducing your desires and reducing the intensity of your desires, you find your joyful state is long lasting. So the moment you understand this through discrimination too, then you will say, my God, this is a transient, joyless world. Otherwise, say, yeah, what is this transient, joyless? I'm talking like, that's why I don't go to Bhagavad Gita. Everything they say transient, and these fellows come in white and white, or in upper row, and they say there's nothing. And then if you go to some other places, you know, see, it's a very funny situation. I'm not supporting anybody, I don't know anybody, okay? I don't know anybody. I'm giving this as an example. That if you go to Brahma Kumaris, they wear white and white. No jewelry, nothing. Even in our ashram, white and white. Right. Now, this also some people get into. Well, don't wear anything, jewelry, what's happening? They get agitated. Okay. Go to the other extreme, Radhe Ma. I am not supporting her. I don't know her. I really honestly didn't know till the whole thing was reported in the paper and TV. Then also you believe that wearing so much of jewelry, you know what is this going on? Is it spiritual? you want to criticize him. That's all.
So isn't all that also for an effect?
What is
the trying to attract you with an effect?
If they do something like that, it's a different matter.
So
no, 1 minute. Do you know they are doing it like that, first of all? The problem that is happening, I'll tell you. You see, first of all, clothes have got nothing to do with spiritual. Nothing. Okay? Some reason is there, that's about it. Just because Krishna never moved around in any upper robes. He is the main Bhagavad Gita guru. Read me. We who are teaching Bhagavad Gita, which is his philosophy, we are wearing these clothes. Does it become that we are more spiritual than Krishna?
So we were talking about the mind with that.
Exactly. End of the day, mind. You don't know the mind.
That is what.
You don't know the mind. Do you know the mind? You don't know your own mind. How? I'm not saying, yes, there are in every field. You know, in every field, there was one very interesting WhatsApp going around. You know the video of one Swami talking about money? Very interesting WhatsApp video. Most of you would have seen. He says, choose your careers carefully. He says, and he talks about money. He says, what is the money? What is the amount an engineer will be earning? Maybe 50,000 per month. Then he says, how much the software fellow is earning? 200, 300, 400,000 a month. Then he says, how much the politician is earning? In 10 years, 10,000 crores, 20,000 crores like that. Then he says, I'm not including PG. He says all this. Then he says, how much is a spiritual person earning? He says that. Then he says some huge 200,000 crores. That sort of a thing you hear. He says, choose your career carefully. In that case, meaning better to become spiritual. In other words, then he says, I'm saying this in a light-hearted way. I'm not painting all the saints, all the politicians, everybody in a negative way. Therefore, money is a tool. Then he goes on like that. So, we are not here to paint everybody who wears white as negative, or everybody who wears white has to be positive. There may be few crooks. Similarly, who wears jewelry, who may not even do anything with spirituality outside, they may be highly spiritual. So, it's got nothing to do with clothes. Once this is clear, ultimately what is it? The guna, the direction. Isn't that what matters? So when I see the things, when I understand that, then I can see, okay, when they say transient joyless world, very interestingly what Krishna says is having reached this transient joyless world, what does it mean? Having arrived in this world, you worship me. Do you really worship me just because you arrived in this world? Having arrived in this world, when you realize that it is a transient, joyless world, then does anyone have to tell you, worship me? You will automatically worship me. This is what you need to understand. See, the words of all these masters, go to a little bit carefully. We live, but we don't understand it's a transient, joyless world. We read the poetry, even we shall pass away and all that. But we don't have that knowledge only. But once you understand this is a transient, joyless world. Real joy is within. The joy within is getting reflected through the object. And I am getting lost. Therefore I am thinking, the more I collect, the more I will be. Hence, if I understand this, I will turn spiritual. I will start worshipping the Atma within, the Self within, the Krishna. So highly, what is very highly important is, you need to understand the first step is, the world is transient, joyless. In fact, the spiritual journey only begins to the extent you understand it. If you do not understand that, your spiritual journey has not begun yet. These are precious stripes. They are precious white, some of them. Why do you call it precious? Because they are very rarely found. Supposing you find diamonds everywhere, what will happen? Loses its value. Isn't it?
Why are they precious stones?
Why are they called precious stones? They are also stones, no? But the gravel is available in plenty, hence it's not precious. Something which is rarely available in less.
But they are man-made, right? A ruby or an emerald or a diamond or a...
Whatever it is, it is man-made from certain things which is
rare,
not so much.
No, that rarity has been created by man.
But whatever, still less available. You make it available everywhere, let's see whether it has the same charm. Let me see. It's precious for that reason. But it is also trifle. If it was not trifle, somebody points a gun at you and say, Baba, you either give that or I'll kill you. What will you do? You give that. Why? Your life is more valuable than the precious stone.
There's a little girl, I sent her messages today. There's a 7-year-old daughter who asked her mother, Mom, will you leave, very innocently, the mom, will you leave your purse full of jewelry and money for the maid? Mom, of course not, what a stupid question. She says, but you leave me with her.
It's such a gift.
So, precious trifle comes to you.
You need to understand this. But these are things for you to deeply reflect and understand, not for you to go and give lectures. Anyway, you use precious trifle and all that, if you talk, then nobody will call you for any party get together tomorrow. If you are at that level, please do that if you really want that one. It's in a way good tactics. Then please understand, you don't even show. You should be like Namak. Namak will mix. It lends little taste to the food, but it will not show its presence. You don't want to show your philosophy anybody else. It's quietly lived. But understand this, having reached the transient joyless world. And he's saying joyless means what? Zero joy. If at all there is joy, it is only within. You get closer to the object, the object is reflecting the joy. Then you get caught in this, you get trapped. Then you run after it more and more. That's all. Whichever area you have desires, there the Atma is reflected through that. But then you get trapped. So that is why we keep on saying, it's not enough just reading, but do a lot of reflection. Now the conclusion, summary.
Manmanabhava mat bhaktaha, madhyaji maam namaskuru, maame vaishyasi yuktvaivam, atmanam matparayanaha, manmanabhava mat bhaktaha, madhyaji maam namaskuru, maame vaishyasi yuktvaivam, atmanam matparayanaha.
Yes, first fix your mind in me, manmanabhava. Fix your mind on me. Mat bhakta bhava. Be my devotee. Be devoted to me. Madhyaji maam namaskuru. Bow down to me. Sacrifice to me. Thus uniting yourself to me. Taking me as a supreme goal, you shall come to me. Maam eva means alone.
Maam eva means me alone. What is me alone? The 22nd verse, very famous verse, we said, what does it say? Ananya Shinta. No other thought. There is no thought of the world. Other thought means, other than God is what world? World? God. If you are having no other thought, means no thought of the world. The world is not in you, only me. You are done with the world. That's what it means. There are now, once you are done with it, now I don't want to turn aside. That's why they say, you be done with all your obligations before you come to spirituality. In the end of the story of Mahabharata, the end, Yudhishthira and all the Pandavas and Draupadi, they climb in the Himalayas. And he climbs. Yudhishthira says, I am not going to stop for anybody, I will continue. Because once they climb the Himalayas, Brahman is coming from heaven to protect them. You all want to catch up. Do not want to catch up, I am not going to stop. Turn and look back. Don't look back means what?
You will get caught.
Work. Should be very clear, then you will not look back. Otherwise, supposing you went to temple because you had some trouble. Sensex is going down. Therefore you went to Balaji. In Balaji, the mobile phone is on. Suddenly you see Sensex going up. You will turn away from Balaji.
Thank you.
Now you went to Balaji not because Sensex went down. You understand that Sensex itself is nonsense. Don't you understand that? Then it doesn't matter. Let the sensor go up, go down. That's what he means. Mameva Sharanam. For that Sharanam to happen, you need to very sharply, clearly see the world. Then you must see the world as it is. You see the world as it is, then it becomes very clear to you that it is transient choice. That's why you have to remain in the world. In a hurry, if you take up sannyas, you are not yet ready, you will not get there. What is the hurry? Be in the world, then you become clear there is no joy in the world. And your mind will get fixed in you. So fix your mind on me, it's intellectual discipline. Be devoted to me. The mind should be devoted to the Atma within. That's an emotional level. Then sacrifice to me. Anything and everything that you do, actions, karma yoga, at the physical level, should be done for the sake of reaching the self, not for anything else. Sacrifice to me means what? For the welfare of the whole universe. Then bow down to me. Dissolving your ego. Thy will be done, not my will be done. He is doing it through me. I am not the one who is doing it. Right? When we bring up our children also, in the name of responsibility, we slip into sense of indisposability. What is a responsible mother supposed to do? Pardon?
Make the child independent, self-sufficient.
Live the knowledge. Set an example. If you are a responsible mother, father, you will set the example. But you will think the child will not grow if I am not. That is for responsibility. A lot of people think it is responsible. But it is nothing but sense of indispensability. Nobody is indispensable.
So understand, bow down to me. Manmanabhava. Madhyaji maam namaskuru. Maameva Vishyasi. So he says, always surrender to me. Thus uniting yourself to me at the body, mind, intellect, ego level. Taking me as the supreme goal. Only purpose of living life is to get to self. If I am eating, why am I eating? To get to the self. If I am attending Gita class, why am I attending Gita class? To get to the self. If I am going to this, why am I doing this? To get to the self. Man minus desire equals God. I am only interested in getting rid of it. No other desire. You shall come to me. If you function like this, you will reach the self. Because all the desires are gone. Whatever existing small little desires are there, they also get exhausted. And thereafter there is no more return. You become one with the self. Om Tatsat Ede Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambhade Raja Vidya Raja Bhukhya Yoga Nama Namamo Dhyayaha. Om, that is real. Thus in the Upanishads of the glorious Bhagavad Gita, the science of the eternal, the scripture of yoga, the dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna ends the ninth chapter entitled Yoga of Our Knowledge and Royal Secret. Reading of the chapter has ended. But study of the Gita, chapter 9, has not ended. So to remind ourselves of that, we'll chant verse number 1 here.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Idam Tute Guhyatam, Idam Tute Guhyatam, Pravakshyam Yana Suyave, Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam, Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam, Yajnatva Moksha Seshubhat, Yajnatva Moksha Seshubhat, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Idam Tute Guhyatam, Pravakshyam Yana Suyave, Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam, Yajnatva Moksha Seshubhat. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kaye Navacha
Manasendriyeva
Budhyasana va Prakriteshvabhavat Karomi yajyat Sakalam parasmahi Narayanayeti samarpayami.